Summer is here, so we have to talk about Summer House and a lot of things that have to do with it, with its star, Danielle Oliveira. Hi, Danielle.
Hi. Congratulations on the podcast.
Thank you.
You're already a pro with the cards. Very Andy Cohen of you.
Very Andy Cohen. I love that.
Yes. And so, like, normally I feel like I'm in the hot seat, but this is better.
You feeling a little relaxed?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We might have to spice it up for you.
Okay.
But we'll try to keep it, you know, keep it tame.
We'll see.
All right, so the season of Summer House wrapped. You've been on the show since 2018, is that correct?
Wow, yeah.
How did it go this season for you?
So it's interesting. I thought it went so well. We had so much fun, and then watching it back, there's like a different reality to it. Mm. But I think the highlight of this summer was definitely launching my company on camera. Everyone showed up and was super excited for it. My family, my friends, like everyone on the cast, even people from seasons past came out. So that was really, really special and cool for me.
Yeah, that is very special. And we're going to get all into your app because you actually brought an item with you today,
yes.
Which is, tell us.
I am someone who writes everything down, and I know I'm in technology, but there's something about it. So I have a bunch of Dawn notebooks, and so that's my item.
I'm a writer downer as well, so I love it. It's so cute, and I can't wait to hear all about your app. But going back to your answer to the first question, you said that things were different. They turned out to be different than how it felt when you were filming. Let's get into that. In what ways did you feel that?
I just think that there's a lot more conversations that go on behind the scenes and that involve me and I have no idea about until I watch it back. And I'm just like, oh, I thought we were good. Turns out we were not good. Yeah. And it's difficult because you can't fix it in the moment. And I'm a fixer. Like, I like to have like resolutions to things. And so the reunion was a doozy. So I was just like, oh my gosh. It's very surprising. In a lot of ways, Lindsay this season said that she was blindsided, and sometimes I think I was way more blindsided by a lot of moments. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's not easy. And I feel like when you're on a show like Summer House for so many years, the dynamics of your friendships have to change, right, each year. So when you look back at 2018, when you first joined the show, to now, how have those friendship dynamics evolved?
I mean, like, Lindsay and I have such a sisterhood, and then it kind of fell apart when she got engaged to Carl. That was really difficult and soul-crushing. And then this past season is us trying to repair what we once had. And it's, you know, if you have close girlfriends and something, like, you know, monumental happens to, like, break you apart, sometimes it's just difficult to get back to where you once were. And I think part of just growing up is realizing what is good for you and what's not good for you. And sometimes a brand new relationship is the one that works the best. It doesn't have to go back to what it once was. Maybe we could just forge something brand new and figure that out.
And do you think that friendship with Lindsay will...
We're still figuring that out.
Reconcile, and you're still figuring it out.
Yeah.
Do you still have, you know, like a motivation to make it work?
You know, I don't toss people away very quickly. There's a lot of love there. There's a lot of history there. It's almost like a relationship, you know? So it's hard when you break up and you still have that, like, bond. So we'll see.
Yeah. I want to, you know, hear more just about you growing up and what your life was like before joining the show. And I'm assuming you have
very
a lot
different
of friends, I'm sure, and friends that aren't just in the public, you
yeah.
know, I with you. So you were from and born in New Jersey. Tell us about
yeah.
you back then.
Born and raised Hoboken, New Jersey, Catholic school girl. So I loved my uniform, cute tie, knee highs, like did the whole entire thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, high school was public school and I had to find my own identity really through fashion. And then college happened. I graduated with a degree in finance and I love that part of me. I'm not a wordsmith. I'm not very good at that, but I'm really good at numbers and data and problem solving using data. So that was like a huge thing for me. And then after that, I really wanted to learn from people like COOs, CEOs, the C-suite. Mm-hmm. That really, I wanted to be a bigger fish in a smaller pond. So instead of going to a large corporation, I went smaller. And that, I think, made all the difference for how I propelled my own career in finance and then eventually in technology.
Very cool. Where did you go to college?
Delaware.
Nice.
Fighting Blue Hens.
Very nice. were saying about wearing a uniform in middle school, because I wore a uniform from kindergarten through senior year.
Yeah.
And so I only had to wear my own clothes, or could really wear my own clothes, on the weekends. And I think that's also how I got so interested in fashion. I was so sick of someone telling me what to wear and looking like one of the same 30 girls in my grade. It didn't feel like me.
Right.
You know?
And like the only thing that I could change is maybe my shoes.
Yep.
And even then the nuns were like, it's a little bit of a stretch, Danielle.
What about like the length of your skirt?
Yes.
At my school, if you were like beyond 3
I did not play
knee,
with that. Yeah,
sorry.
Our nuns were strict. I was like, nope.
We didn't have nuns, so that's why we were a little more like playing, you know, playing with the dices. That is something else. A lot of people, you know, don't experience that. So we're the uniform girls.
Right. And it's like hard to find your identity in high school just as a female going into it, right? Like friendships and like, where do I fit in? And I was very much a tomboy, and I mean, still I am, but I've used fashion as a way to express myself and not, like, I can be girly. I'm not always going to be on the field. I'm not always going to be interacting with my guy friends. So that has been such a game changer. And that's why I think ultimately, even though I love finance, I pivoted a bit to fashion, because that truly is what I feel is like what I'm meant to do, is like connect people with like clothes that make them feel like who they actually are on the inside.
Sounds a lot like what I talk about in my book.
That's why I love it. Yeah.
No, I relate and really agree with everything you're saying. So with Summer House, when did that happen? And did you ever have dreams of being famous when you were growing up, going to Catholic school?
No. I was like the little Puerto Rican that could in Hoboken. But I think, you know, I was at that job for like right out of college for 7 years. And I loved what I was doing. I was funding small businesses. And I do love small businesses, even to this day, using fashion to catapult small businesses.
Yeah.
And I got laid off. And that was really a dark, tough time for me.
I'm sure.
And then I got a phone call one day, and Kyle put my name, you know, in the ring for Summer House. Like, this was, they had just completed season one. This was going into filming for season two. And I felt like the universe was telling me something, like, okay, you got laid off. That really sucks. And it's really hard to find a new job immediately. But I had rent to pay. I don't come from a ton of money. And so I'm in Williamsburg, Brooklyn at the time. Like, how am I going to afford rent?
Yeah.
Severance only goes so far, right? So I was like, you know what? I talked to my friends first. And they're like, that's a disaster. You're going to ruin your career. And I don't know what in me was just like, I want to prove you guys wrong. I think that you can do both. I think you can have a great career in whatever industry and also be on reality TV. And I think the people that watch our show deserve to know that there's real people on TV, not just people that you assume are rich, come from a ton, like people who actually work these 9-to-5 grueling jobs.
Yeah.
And the Hamptons is just our place to blow off steam, a playground, like a we deserve it moment for, you know, Monday through Friday's craziness.
Yeah.
So I felt like I should take the plunge, and I did. I immediately regretted it.
Going on the show.
Yeah, it was tough. The dynamic was difficult being, you know, obviously on camera, but like it's entertainment. So you have to be vulnerable. You have to talk a lot. And like, I'm like, what? And like, to me, it was so foreign that I was like, did I make a mistake? And then watching it back, I was like, definitely did. Definitely.
But you've stuck around. You've been on the show for years. Like, you could have said at some point, this just isn't for me. So what's made you stay?
Honestly, our showrunner for season three changed my mind. Mm. He was just like, I really want to tell your story, who you are. And so I, you know, I believed in that. And I still do. There's a part of me that really, really does love the show, because it shows such a dynamic, you know, you're working super hard, but also you have these like fun personalities on the weekends, and you get into some trouble, and then you have to have an apology tour because your drunk self was terrifying. But I really loved his mission, and so I decided to keep going, and they decided to keep bringing me back.
There you you have it. That's a good thing. And for those who don't know, how did you originally know Kyle, who submitted you to be on the show?
So before the show even was a thing, like Kyle and I were going out to the Hamptons and doing share houses. He was just a bit older than I was, so we didn't we weren't in the same one, but we had the same kind of larger circle of friends. And so I met him at Surf Lodge in Montauk, and you know, kept running into him, that same group of friends, eventually Everett, Carl, who were both on season two as well. I eventually started dating Carl, so Montauk, really.
That was the place.
Yeah.
And your Hampton sort of vibe when you're filming, like, for those who don't know, is it a different house every season? Is it always that you're filming in the summer? Is it not? Because I've heard, like, during COVID, I feel like you guys weren't necessarily filming during the height of the season. Like, how does that all work?
So normally the house changes, but we've had some houses where we've done multiple years, and that has worked. There was the COVID house where we just didn't leave the house, really. And it showed such a different side of everyone on the cast, because we couldn't leave. We couldn't, you know, because if someone had COVID, the entire production would be shut down. Right. So we didn't do it in the same way as we once did, because normally you see us going out in Southampton or Sag Harbor, but that time we didn't. But for the most part, we like to keep it to the same house, maybe switch it up once, 2 to 3 years, and always between early July to Labor Day is when we film. And then sometimes in the city as well. I feel like a lot of fans have now really liked us filming more in the city because they like to see that other side of us.
I feel like that's relatable that viewers are able to see what it's like for you to be between New York and the Hamptons, because that's what, you know, the working woman and man is doing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that we sometimes, because it's season over season, lose sight of that being the premise of the show. And they're like, oh, they just like party in the Hamptons all the time. I'm like, no, it takes a lot to have a share house out there. It's kind of like a rite of passage. It's something that I've always felt proud about, that like I've made it in a way where the Hamptons is such a, it's a magical place. You know this, obviously, better than most, but it's such a magical place where you are surrounded by wealth. And for me, growing up where I did, I always wanted to surround myself with that. Mm. It's kind of like that fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
And so if I surround myself with people like that, then I will eventually become that, for sure. And so we're kind of like that cast of characters that you're seeing us go through that, and how are we gonna keep making it? We're starting businesses, we're still hustling, and like, in any which way, there's still a hustle within all of us, outside of making money from reality TV.
Truly, and it's a very strong point. I also think it kind of makes me think about, for me, like how the Hamptons is the reason that I'm able to make a living, like coming up with a magazine and printing there, and then you being on a show that's based out there. Like, it's not just this vacation town or a place for only people who have made it. It actually is full of a lot of people who are hustling, and like you're saying, who are on the journey and using it as just the backdrop.
Yeah, exactly. That's why share houses exist, because no one can afford those houses by themselves. Not yet, anyway.
Oh my God. So one day. I tell you, when my parents got divorced, I was like 6 years old. My father did a share house. He rented a share house. And at the time, like, you know, everyone grew together. It's now the head of Equinox. A lot of big people now.
Yeah.
And I was like 6 years old in a share house with my father. And like, granted, it wasn't crazy, but I was like, I don't know if this is for me. Like, not just because I'm six. Like, I just don't know if this is for me,
I guess.
Period.
Like, that's going to be Kyle Cook in the future, not divorce. So don't say that, but like,
with a kid in the share house.
Yes. 100%.
Oh my God. You really have to like who you live with is the other thing. Now.
Yeah.
I feel like my dad and I were kind of like boxed in his space, and he was like, I don't know if my daughter should be around all these crazy girls and guys, but you know.
We're not too bad.
That was like 1999. I want to know, who are you closest to right now from the cast?
I would say probably Lindsay and Gabby. We had a great summer together. We were built our friendship over again. There's a lot of just like laughter and lightness to our friendship, which I absolutely love. And then the newbies, Wes and Jesse, they were just such a fun addition to the cast this past summer, that like now in the city, if I just want to have a good time, and watch sports, I text one of them.
I feel like Summer House is one of those shows where there's constantly like a new character who's joining. Do you guys get ever like a little, I don't know, weirded out when someone's joining?
Because like, no, it's exciting.
Really?
Yeah. No, I always love the new energy. Like, I think it's because it brings a new dynamic because we've known each other for such a long time.
Right.
It's sometimes really good to have like that outside perspective on like what's going on, because sometimes we're just in our own, can I curse, shit?
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, oh, you do make a good point. Like, that outsider perspective makes sense. We are out of our minds, and this is not as deep or as big as we think it is. And like, you know, it's reassuring that you can have new people in the mix and we can get along, and the story just like keeps going and it's like even better than before. I mean, not everyone has been like the best addition.
Yeah.
Some people, it's difficult. Like, not everyone is comfortable with putting themselves out there on camera. But these past two, like, they really were vulnerable, and they contributed so much.
Yeah. I forget, did the Workus twins, did they leave after season one or two? Did you film
two.
With them?
Two, yeah.
So you did film with them.
Yeah.
Did you talk to those girls still?
No. I have an appreciation for them.
Yeah.
But after season two, there was a lot said behind my back on, you know, the Lauren Workus side, and I didn't know it until I watched it back, and then the reunion, and I'm just like, this is insane to me, and just, you know, like, you were so nice to my face, but, like, so cruel behind my back, and so it's just like, bye.
How has this show, like, if I was on a show like this, I feel like my trust issues would be flying out the window.
Yeah,
like, you're sitting here, you're smiling, you clearly are such a positive person, like, I think it's very like good for women to look up to you, that you can have people talking badly about you, but you can still have a positive attitude. No, really, like, how do you deal with that? Because it's not easy.
It really isn't. And I do battle with like bouts of just like that anxious feeling when you wake up in the morning and you don't want to open Instagram like for fear of like what someone might say, that just like brings your entire day down.
Yeah.
So just don't look. But also, like, I surround myself with a lot of like friends who've known me way before any of this ever happened. And my co-founder, I worked with him for a really long time, and he knows me outside of this world as well.
Yeah.
So, like, very humbling, and, you know, they tell me, like, it is. Like, you're just like us, so, like, relax.
Oh
and
God.
So, and I still go to Montauk with them to this day. Like, I'm going to be spending Memorial Day weekend with those friends.
I want to know if you're seeing anyone right now.
So, I am so single.
So single.
So single. And I think that's because I get into modes where I just can't make enough room for dating, especially in this city. It's time consuming.
Yeah.
And it's a roller coaster ride. And there's games involved that I don't like playing and I'm not necessarily good at. And so I'm just like not there in my headspace to put myself out there in that way. Like, I love meeting guys, but my company, I think, is just too important, and I'd rather spend my hours per day on that. But we'll see. I mean, the summer is young, so you never know.
It could be your hot girl summer, and you just don't know it yet.
I always feel like when you are your most, like, the best version of yourself, or like you're doing well by yourself, like, and that confidence, it really does translate, and it puts the feelers out there for a good guy to come along.
My team will tell you, isn't this what I've been saying all day today? Are you on the dating apps, Danielle?
Okay, so I'm on Raya.
Okay.
It's a dating app.
It's a hookup app.
It's like, yeah, everyone's good looking. Everyone has like a great career. And so it's so surface and like superficial. It's, you know, I don't believe that I'm gonna find the one on Raya.
Yeah. Have you been on Hinge or Bumble before?
No.
Can we get you on there?
Do you want?
I met my husband on Bumble. I highly believe in it.
Because you're a go-getter. So you go, like, you went and got that man and you're like, let's go.
But like, I literally just said, hi, how are you?
That wasn't your opening line.
I swear to God it was. I swear.
And he was just like, hey, what's up?
He was like, gosh, the time pressure on here because the match almost expired. But we, like, hit it off. And But now Bumble is not just about the girl making the first move. I just read something that they switched it so that men can also initiate. And I have a friend who's single, who's in her 40s. She's like, these guys, they're 50. They're not reaching out. I said, do you think the 50-year-old man read the update that Bumble is now, like, gender neutral, that it doesn't matter what your gender is and that you can reach out? I don't think
so. right? No, they're not technologically like with it and like reading the articles that pop up. Yeah. No. But like, I love that you reached out first.
I did. It was, again, very boring, but it worked out. I was sitting at a cafe yesterday waiting for a meeting, and a guy who I haven't seen, totally platonic, in years, I ran into, and I just set him up with a friend. Like, you just don't know in New York, but I think you should
be on
apps.
Okay, I'm 35.
And I'm going to set you up. We're going to do all of that. I'm going to set everybody up. It's going to be my new job. Yeah. I'm the matchmaker.
Yeah, keep me in mind.
I'm going to. I'm definitely going to. Like, it's my thing right now.
You have enough on your plate, but, like, still keep me in mind.
No, but I enjoy it. I feel like people who find their person should help other women because it's not easy. Like,
yeah.
It's all about helping our tribe. That's what I think. Speaking of which, when you are dating, I think it's really important to wear outfits that you are comfortable in and that you feel confident in, and I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yes.
So let's talk about Dawn, because that could potentially help a lot of women, right?
Absolutely. I feel like my mission in life is to have every single person, not only just females, but eventually like everyone, you walk into a room and you feel your best self. And I do believe that the way that you feel your best self is with a stunning outfit. And that could be stunning just by your own personal style. Like, it doesn't mean it's for everyone. It's what suits you and what makes you feel the most comfortable. I think that we have gotten caught up in trendy and, oh, God, like, that doesn't fit me. So, like, now, like, what do I do? Because, like, I mean, we're in a crop top era right now and, like, hip huggers.
I'm over it.
When did this happen? Like, I don't know. That's petrifying to me.
The 90s are back.
Yes, the 90s are back. Yeah. And I don't have the body that I once had.
None of us do.
And so I think that, like, it's important to give people, you know, a safe space. I'm trying to build a community around a great outfit. So the app, it will function as understanding your wardrobe as it is today. So making it digital a la Clueless, like the share closet. But like, once you get a feel for what you already own, only then can you start figuring out what is missing or what you need to purge and get rid of that's not suiting you.
And so you have stylists who are a part of the app.
Yeah.
And like, how does it work? Are they showing ideas from Zara, Forever? Like, is it a wide-ranging brand? Like, how does that part work?
So I think that for me, I hate the idea of just a celebrity stylist. I really want to democratize the stylist a bit, that it's for everyone. So the price points are their own. They have their own niche. They bring to the table. So I have some stylists that, you know, are mothers of three that are a completely different phase of their life, all the way to someone who is a Gen Z stylist and can do all of that that I could not.
Yeah.
But it's really like matching, the app will match you with the stylist that is best suited for you.
I think it's great.
And that could be style, you know, phase of life. And I do think that once you have that connection with a stylist and you know that it's not just for a big name celebrity, that's someone who could just help you organize your closet or get rid of stuff that you don't need, or just say like, hey, this is the best color palette for you. Let's stop wearing brown, because it's not bringing out all of your best attributes. Like, that is what it's meant for.
Definitely. And I think we get jaded in New York. Like, we assume that everybody like understands style, but there's a lot of women who just don't have a clue.
Yeah,
they don't.
And like, they're in my DMs and they're just like, how did you put that together? Like, and so I've always wanted to get into the fashion technology space, but I think being on the show and having a platform and kind of receiving all of these messages from women who are just trying to get a good outfit on has really propelled me to quit corporate America and do this full time.
I love that. What does a typical day look like for you, Danielle, when you are not filming Summer House?
I wake up in a ball of anxiety. No, I'm just kidding.
Do you really?
I mean,
same.
I have a to-do list. Yeah, it's like the to-do list is so long, but I do, I wake up, I try to give myself a little bit of grace in the morning because I'm not a morning person.
Okay.
Are you?
I'm not at all. Okay. No. And so, neither is Marge. Marge Joseph was here today. And
yeah.
She's not either. It must be something about today. So what does the typical day in your life look like when you are not filming Summer House?
I wake up slow, and it's taken me a while to unlearn that guilty feeling when you wake up anything, you know, beyond 8 a.m. Because being in finance and in corporate America, you're kind of like shamed if you're not in the office at a certain time.
Yeah.
And that time is usually already too late. If there's someone in the office before you, there's just kind of a stigma around it.
Yeah.
And now working for myself, I'm just like, I'm not operating at my best early in the morning. It's just not going to happen. I'd rather work out a little bit, have some food, do my reading. Maybe I'll scroll. And that's okay. Like, maybe I'll do a little scroll. Maybe I'll post something. And then I think that my sweet spot is around 1 p.m.
And what happens there?
I start firing off on all cylinders. There's, like, that's my 4 hours from 1. And, it's just, it's so great for me to just knock everything out. And, again, I think it's because I give myself some grace in the morning time.
Yeah.
That I'm fully ready. And then I just, power through everything.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I don't need a lot of hours in the day to get done what I need to do. It's about the quality.
Yes.
And not the quantity. And exactly. I actually think the people who are getting up at 5 a.m. and are going until God knows what time at night, are you really paying attention during that time? I don't think so. You're probably distracted.
It's a facade. It's like, oh my, I'm up at 5 a.m. Like, cool, bro. Like, right. What are you doing at 5 a.m.?
Yeah, not much. I mean, you can't get that much. Unless maybe you're talking to someone in Europe or something, but...
Probably. The markets.
Danielle, we're going to play a little game of rapid fire.
Oh.
Are you ready? Yeah?
Yeah, I guess.
So. Okay, good. Okay. What is your favorite thing to do on a set break?
A set break?
Yeah, when you're on set and you need a little break.
Honestly?
Yeah.
Have a shot of tequila.
Ooh, whatever it takes. Yeah.
Just like, oh man, we did that. It's heavy.
Okay. What is your wardrobe staple?
Blazers. Mm. I love blazers. Call me a New Yorker, call me a workaholic. I don't care. Blazers are incredible on anyone. I'm obsessed with them and I have too many.
Texting or calling?
Texting.
Biggest dating red flag?
Not loving your mama.
Ooh. That's good.
Yeah. I try to always insert so what's your family life like?
Kind of, yeah. You're right. It is strange. Biggest green flag with dating?
Besides loving your mama, if I'm in the apartment, if it's clean and tidy, that is a huge green flag.
Agreed. What is one word that you use to describe your style?
I'm going to go with chic with an edge.
Very nice. What is your biggest fear?
Failure.
And last but not least, favorite late night snack?
Pizza.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Basic cheese.
No, I'm a pepperoni girl.
Oh, very
and if
nice.
You're at the summer house, probably Goldfish or Cheez-Its or something that we can eventually just throw everywhere and have to clean up in the morning.
Oh my God, it's like a Pepperidge Farm Manza. Very good. Those were our rapid fire questions. And, looking at our conversation and just being able to see how you can go on a reality show like Summer House, you can still be a working entrepreneur and building your own business on the side. What is your number one tip for somebody who is starting their own business today?
Always fall in love with the problem that you're trying to solve. Don't fall in love with the solution because the solution can change, it can evolve, and you can be disappointed if you stick your ground on the solution. I think with my app, I'm always getting feedback because what I'm trying to do is problem solve, not push something on our users.
Do you think that you need to either be famous, be a personality, or have a strong social media presence to be a successful entrepreneur today?
I don't think so. Unfortunately, now with followers and how big that is, it does seem like that is what translates to success, but I don't believe in that. I do think building a network, especially if you're a female founder, especially if you're trying to break through an industry that you're not the normal person.
Yeah.
Like a lot of founders aren't Puerto Rican females from New Jersey, and that's difficult, and you always feel like you're climbing uphill.
Yeah.
I think that it's important to build a network of people that are going to get you there and who support you and your mission and who just kind of say you got this, because there's some days that you're going to cry and it's going to feel really, really bad. Mm. But if you have that support group of like-minded people like yourself, just talking to you, I know you're a go-getter.
Yeah.
If you have people to reach out to, they're going to bring you back up.
I love that. It's great advice. Before you go, we cannot ignore the fact that Summer House was just picked up for another season.
Yes.
Season 9. What do you think people can expect going into another year of the show?
I think that people are loving our city lives and getting to know that part of us. Like, we have these, there's relationships, there's marriages, there's friendships, and then there's also like the businesses that we're trying to build. And I think that for everyone who watches, it's not just about the partying anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, our theme parties are fun, but I think that people are gravitating towards like the behind the scenes sort of like, okay, what do they do every single day? I mean, you asked me about like, what's a normal day? What does that look like? And so I think people really want to get to know that side of our, like, ourselves a bit more.
I think that's what it is to grow up with a cast member of a show. It's kind of reminds me of like the Vanderpump Rules situation where like, I don't think they have anything else to show but their partying, which kind of limits for the viewer, like the takeaways years later. But I think with Summer House, like, you do see the real New York hustle. And I agree. I think if you guys show more of that, people are going to love that.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. What's next for you in the meantime? What can people expect and where can we find your app?
So Dawn is available on Apple and Google Play. So if you have an iOS, you have an Android, you can download it. You get your first month free, which is really fun. And that's what you could find me working on all day, every day from here on out.
But you've got to tell us what Dawn means, like where the name came from.
So the meaning behind it, it's kind of funny because my co-founder and I, we were just like at a bar one day and we're just like, what are we going to, because we had already built it for the back end pretty much. And I'm like, we have to find a name because I think the brand will come with that. And I always like the idea of a mafia don, because the confidence that one exudes as a mafia don when you walk in the room, like, that's powerful. That's confidence. And then to don something is to wear it. And I just spelt it with 5 letters instead of 3.
I love it. And you are that. You are confidence in a beautiful shell.
Thank you.
There we go. Well, Danielle, thanks so much for joining us on All the Buzz.
Thank you for having me.
You got a lot going on, and we'll be sure to wait for your next season of the show to come out so we can see more of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.